In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
We welcome everyone this beautiful Pentecost Sunday, where we celebrate, of course, the fulfillment of Christ's mission in the world, which is, as it were, capped by the sending of the Holy Spirit, who continued to accomplish his saving work even after he himself had ascended into heaven. And the coming of the Holy Spirit, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, would be not only a sign, but an actual realization of the fulfillment of the mission of Christ in this world unto our salvation. But it's also for us, in Orthodoxy, what we call Trinity Sunday. It's interesting that in the Latin Church, Trinity Sunday is what is the Sunday after Pentecost, and they celebrate Trinity Sunday today as well. For us, though, we celebrate in the revelation of the Holy Spirit the revelation of the Holy Trinity, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The long-awaited Spirit is now revealed to us in his fullness on Pentecost. And so that's why the icon that we put out on the tetrapod, if you noticed when you came forward, was that icon of the hospitality of Abraham, which is that foreshadowing of the of an image, as it were, of the Trinity. So there are many different things going on today. And as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, there's a need for them to form a confluence, or the many different streams are flowing here. And so I just want to mention just a few of them that we should recognize. If you recall, about 100 days ago, what were you doing 100 days ago? Actually, you do know what you were doing about 100 days ago.
And,
the beginning of Great Lent, which was the preparation, of course, for Holy Pascha. But if you recall, the theme of Great Lent, the first Sunday, or the beginning Cheese Fair Sunday, is the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise. Okay, and so we put out that icon, and it's recalling that in our fallen human state, that this is how we live as a people that doesn't know paradise. Today, we celebrate the discovery of paradise. Okay? We did, because there is a revelation of the glory of paradise that is offered to us in the coming of the Holy Spirit today. The fulfillment of paradise. Paradise has not, it may have been lost, but it has been found. And it is here, in the presence of God, in the presence of the gift of the Holy Spirit to us. Some of the fathers in the church really emphasize this theme, this notion of the return to paradise as a theme for Pentecost. In fact, particularly among the Slav churches, I'm not sure if the other ones do this or not, but we cut branches from the trees. And the branches were a sign of the beauty and abundant life of paradise. And so we're using those as visible signs of the spiritual paradise that we're realizing in the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then some of the patristic homilies speak of the living waters of paradise. If you go back to the story of Genesis, how there were the three rivers that flowed through the Garden of Eden. And so now there is a new river that shows up, the new paradise. The river of water is not just a tangible water as we know it in an earthly sense, but now the new river of water is the one that the Lord was talking about, and that is the grace of the Holy Spirit that's poured out into the world, and that is poured forth into a multitude of streams into the lives of the individual faithful, and that within the soul of the faithful one flows this living water that is the grace of God among us. This is what Pentecost has accomplished for us, and the realization of Pentecost, not only a Pentecost that happened 2,000 years ago, but the realization of Pentecost in the church today and in the sacramental life. St. Ambrose, in particular, references in one of his homilies, he reminded us of the book of Revelation. There's a beautiful image of the river that flows from the grace of God, as the grace of God, from the throne of God. In the book of Revelation, this river that comes from the throne of God, This is a sign or a symbol of the Holy Spirit in our midst. St. Cyril, when he spoke about this, he said and placed an emphasis in part on the words that Christ said, "He who believes in me, he who believes in me, within him shall flow these living waters." Okay, so faith in Christ then is what is the foundation or the beginning of the process of the reception of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the reception of the Holy Spirit in his abundance through the mystery of Holy Chrismation is preceded actually by every movement of our hearts in faith toward Christ. Every time we come and believe in him a little bit more and a little bit more, that's going to reveal the grace of the Holy Spirit within our souls. Okay, so it's not like the Spirit starts moving in our life whenever we become an Orthodox Christian and receive Holy Chrismation. Rather, this is sort of like an opening of the floodgates of the grace of God so that this river of life can pour forth into us. And it is for us then to foster this grace within us. And it's our faith in Christ, and it's the fostering of that faith within our hearts that is so important. So it could be said, though, that in a sense that the opposite is true. That if, when St. Cyril talked about this, he was talking about the watering of the spirit, the watering of the soul. He made this sense of the idea of a tree, that the trees require water. And just even a dying tree, I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, or those of you who are gardeners, you know, you see the little plant that is dying. What is your instinct to do? What do you do in order to get that plant back going again? You give it water. And if it has no water, it will die eventually. And it's true, you know, St. Cyril used this imagery in the spiritual life, that the Spirit is what gives the soul water. And so if we're not opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit, then the water of life, the water of spiritual life, the water that flows from heaven, it will be shut off in our souls, and we will die. But when the water is flowing in abundance, when the plant is healthy, it throws forth, as St. Cyril says, new shoots. And then there is a produce, then there is an abundance. There is something that is produced from that tree, and it is a multitude of good and wonderful things. The fathers talk about the virtues. Saint Ambrose again talks about the wonderful virtues of prudence, temperance, fortitude, justice. Those four pillars of virtue in the soul. These are the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And these proceed from wisdom, from God himself, that these virtues are manifest. So you know, the virtue of temperance. Think about that one. Isn't that a virtue that's desperately needed in the world today? You know, they use the word temperance historically, you know, to identify, you know, not drinking alcohol. But the fact is there's a need for temperance in all areas of life. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to be temperate, to control our passions. And to have fortitude, to exercise justice toward others. This tree, if it grows, it will produce much fruit. It will produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit that St. Paul talks about. And other gifts of the Holy Spirit will be manifest within the human soul and within the life of the person as they live in this world. These gifts abide in the heart. You see, it's just like an apple tree. You know, it's got the potential to produce apples. The potential is there. The life is there. What it needs is the opportunity and the time and the watering, and it will produce. Your life is like that. Your life can produce. The question is it producing? Or what is it producing? Whether it's producing the fruits of the Spirit or something else. Something else is maturing or dying on the vine of life. And so these are the gifts then that come from this watering of the soul that is God's gift unto us. This gift is most wondrously realized in holy baptism. We celebrate it in the instead of singing Holy God at the liturgy today, we sing all you who have been baptized into Christ. It's a reminder to us of our holy baptism, which is for us the cleansing of our souls so that we could receive the Holy Spirit. And indeed, this was an ancient baptismal feast in the church, because the early church saw that this was, in a sense, the fulfillment of God's work, and hence the Christian soul that is baptized, made pure and holy, and come alive in God. This is really what the Christian life is meant to be. There's another stream of grace that is coming to us, and it was very evident in the Acts of the Apostles that with the coming of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost was the formation of the church and the mission of the church and the activity of the church and the things that the church does that exemplifies the fact that the life of God, the life of the Spirit, is present within the church. This is a church which the Lord has planted in a very parched earth, an earth that needs watering desperately. And many people have great potential in their lives, but their spirits are dying. And it is for the church to bring them the water that will give them life. And in doing so, that becomes our mission. However we can go about doing that, to bring the spiritual water of Christ to others. We do it through our prayers. We do it through evangelization. We do it through speaking and sharing with others. We do it through love, because this is what it means to share the life of God with others. How does this all come about? So it's kind of like the woman at the well. A couple of weeks ago, you know, all of those gospel stories were leading up actually to Pentecost. And she was hearing all this stuff, and she said, "This is great. This is what I want in my life. I want this life. I want this water. I want this fruitfulness. I want this joy. I want this way of living in my life. I'm tired of being miserable and parched, sitting here next to this well, trying to get a little bit of water." And of course, the Lord says, "Go find your husband," i.e. repent. And so side by side, and this is where, side by side with the Feast of Pentecost is this notion of the opening of the soul to repentance. If you want the Holy Spirit in your life, repent. Repent. Change your life. Recognize what you're doing wrong. Recognize what you're not doing. Seek God. Ask for His forgiveness. Be reconciled with others. Open your heart to Him. Receive the grace and the mystery of the Lord. The Psalm 50, which over the years, one of these days I'll give a sermon on Psalm 50. It's used all the time in the church. Every matin service, you know, we sing Psalm 50. "Create a clean heart in me, O God." It's a psalm of penance. It's a psalm asking God's forgiveness. It's David's psalm asking forgiveness for his sin. But it's applicable for all of us. But he says, "Create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew an upright spirit within me." The church always recognized that as being a foreshadowing of the gift of the Holy Spirit, of Pentecost. It is preceded by, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," which takes us back to Great Lent. That's why we did Great Lent, was so that we would allow this penitential spirit to become part of us, and that we would not stop asking God for forgiveness on Pascha, but that we would continue to pray and kneel before Him in our hearts and ask for His mercy and open our hearts to receive the multitude of His blessings. St. Cyril, when he talks about those trees and the clusters of the fruit being produced by the grace of the Holy Spirit, he emphasizes the fact that it is through repentance that this happens. And so, in this particular sense, the Apostles' Fast that starts in about a week or so is appropriate, because it's simply our desire to receive the Holy Spirit is going to be lived out through a spirit of penance, through a spirit of fasting. so that the Lord may indeed grant to us an upright spirit, a righteous spirit, a holy spirit within us. One last thought to share with you these days, and it's something of an observation, not only of what I've seen in the world, but in my own life. And that is that there is within many people, and you'll hear it on the radio and whatnot, especially if you turn on the TV stations or radio stations, everybody's looking for a new Pentecost. Everybody wants a new Pentecost, a new coming of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit into this place and this time. And I thought about this, and I begin to wonder if maybe we don't need a new Pentecost. Maybe what we have to do is discover the old Pentecost, the real Pentecost, the one that's already happened, that is present within the church, which the church commemorates every year, and we have to live that. Sometimes when we want the new Pentecost, we don't want to do anything to prepare ourselves for that Pentecost. We just want it to happen. You know, it's sort of like Christmas, you know, Santa comes. And then we go for another year or two, and then, oh, let's have another Pentecost. Or we need another revival, another new movement in the church, something that's going to make it really real this time. No, it's all real. The only thing that's not real is us and our participation in it. And so what we need to do is we need to get on our knees. We have to ask the Lord to open to us to the reality of what he's already done. You see, he has given the Holy Spirit to us. Gave, past tense, the Holy Spirit to us. You have the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe that, listen to the hymn a little bit later that says, we have received the Holy Spirit. We have found the true faith. We're not kidding. This is true. We have. The question is, what are we doing with the Pentecost that God has already given us? Are we opening our hearts and entering into the spiritual watering of our souls? Our chrismation is our Pentecost. And for most of us in this building, that chrismation has already taken place. And the fruits of the Spirit, the abundance of the Spirit, the grace of the Spirit are already there, just waiting for you to open your heart to that reality anew. There is something that's coming. It will not be another Pentecost. God has given us his Pentecost. He has given us his Holy Spirit. He can give us no more. What is coming is Christ again to judge. And he will judge us on whether or not we have received what he's given to us. As caretakers and stewards of the grace, not only of the things of this life, but of the spiritual life. You have received the grace of holy chrismation in your life. Most of you asked for it explicitly. Most of you in this building asked for that grace explicitly as adults, as converts. What have you done with that grace? How have you received it? How have you continued to receive it? How have you fostered it? How have you watered it? How have you tended it? What is it producing in your life? And we can have all the revivals and all the renewal movements and all those kinds of things, but in the end, that's the ultimate question that Christ will say, is what has my gift of the Spirit, how has that mattered at all? If we have any idea as to what God really would love to do, and I think in this regard, the miracle of the 3,000 that were converted that day was a sign of that. You know, it wasn't 3,000 the first day, another 3,000 the second day, the 3,000. No. That was a sign to say that you have no idea what the Holy Spirit will accomplish in your life until you allow him to do it. And then 3,000 will be converted, or people will be healed, or our souls, or we will finally be set free from our passions, or mountains will move, or you know, peace will come into the world, or the starving will be fed, or you know, the peace and grace will come to people who have no idea. We simply do not know what God will accomplish. But the real Pentecost is here. And let us open then our hearts to be saved, to let the streams and the grace and the flow of the water from the throne of God himself be poured into our souls, bringing us life, eternal life, and watering the world unto its salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.